Children have gone or going. Let's give Sue a welcome. Come on, Sue. Come and minister to us.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. It's good to be with you. So we've just had Easter, and it's a great time for us, isn't it, having Easter? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So why did God do what he did? It was his plan. It was his plan to get mankind back from the grip of sin and death. And that's what I love about Easter. Somebody was saying to me at work, did you have a good holiday? Did you have a good break? I said, I love Easter. And they went, really? I went, absolutely love it. I said, it's even better than Christmas. And, you know, it's pivotal to our faith. And I'm so glad that Jed stood up and explained about the resurrection the other week and really gave us some background. You know, and God gave, we know that God gave sacrificially. We heard from Mark on Good Friday. Jesus felt the pain of that sacrifice, and it cost Jesus everything. It cost him his life. And for us, it costs us everything to follow him. Because if we really follow God as we should, then we have to make some sacrifices, don't we? We have to be different. And it's not always easy being different. Today I want to talk to you about something that I'm excited about. That we've sung this morning, that our God is a promise keeper. I love the fact that our God is a promise keeper. And there's a promise in the Bible, and it says, and you'll know this, we reap what we sow. And I was saying on Thursday night when we were here, we were sharing in the group, and I said, oh, that's what I'm going to talk about on Sunday. We reap what we sow. And sometimes it's got a negative connotation that, you know, we reap what we sow, so like if you do bad things, you're going to reap. But that is true, and I'll go into that in a minute. But actually, we reap what we sow when we've sowed goodness, when we've sowed good things. So one of the things I want you to feel this morning is really, really encouraged. I felt as I was preparing this that feel encouraged. So the promise that we reap what we sow, there are the principles in life. So both physically, naturally and spiritually, that applies. And God promised, the first time we kind of get a real understanding of seed time and harvest is Noah came out of the ark, and God's first promise to him was, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That's in Genesis 8, verse 22. So from the very beginning in the Bible, there has been a commitment for seed time and harvest. And then the next scripture I want to read is John 12, verse 24. Very, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And the thing that we see with Jesus' life is that for him to die, the seed of God, look how much has been produced from Jesus' death. Look at the changes that we've experienced in our lives. Look at the changes that the life of Jesus has made. And we're his fruit. When I started to read this scripture, and I studied John about 6 months ago, I just decided to read the Gospel of John. And I read the Gospel of John, but I didn't just read it, I got a study aid as well. And basically I read a couple of verses and I'd read the background of it. And I learned so much, again, going back to that. And this is one of the verses that, that I that I read. And when I started to read about this, in my roundabout reading, it took me to a scripture in Hosea. Now, some of you will go, flipping heck, who's Hosea? Right, well, Hosea was a prophet in the Old Testament. And the Israelites had been sowing wickedness for hundreds of years, and it was time for change. So in Hosea 10, verse 12, this is what was written. That's the background of it. Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. And that's when I started to think about the reaping and sowing. And it's great that, as I've already said, Jesus sowed and we are his fruit. The next scripture I want to read is Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows in his flesh will reap the flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's a great promise when we sow spiritually. That is a promise. Now, as you know, I'm very privileged to have a garden, and I have what's called a garden allotment. So this is a picture. Can we just have the lights down, please, just while I'm doing this? Thanks. So I'm very fortunate to have what's called a garden allotment. So what it means is you have a piece of land, and you're allowed to have so much percentage of the garden, and the last part, which we designated as the last part, it could be anywhere you want on it, but we've designated our last bit is our growing bit. So we do potatoes, we do peas, we do vegetables, and this was where the potatoes grew last year. So probably there are a few that we've not found, and they'll still be there. So this is my task for this year. So this is fallow ground, and I'm going to be breaking this up, okay? And this particular picture didn't come to me, but as soon as I read that scripture in Hosea, I had a picture of ground that was completely left. So just have that sort of picture in your mind. So going back to Hosea 10, verse 12, we've established the principle of reaping and sowing. I want you to think of this is the part that really made me excited when I was reading this, and it was, God, if there's any fallow ground in my life, if there's a piece of land in my life, so to speak, if there's an area of my life that is not being touched by you, if there's an area of my life that's not growing, if there's an area of my life that needs some seed going in, if there's an area of my life that needs turning over, if there's an area of my life that looks like that, God, I don't want it to be like that. And I started to ask God about the fallow ground. Is the fallow ground in my life? You'll be aware of seeds that you've sown that have grown into difficult situations and then grown out of control. Just like the weeds in the garden. You'll be aware of seeds that you've sown in your family which have been hard, but then brought a great harvest. We've all had experience of that in life. One of my experience in life, and I've shared this sometimes before, was that some of my family I didn't grow up with. I didn't grow up with some of my sisters. And later on in life, I had the experience of meeting them later. And I prayed and I prayed and I talked to God about all the years that we'd lost together and how would he make it right. And I had to put a lot of effort into these new relationships because I'd never seen my sister get married. I wasn't there when her children were born. I wasn't there for lots of other life things. And there's massive gaps. But you know, through working at these relationships, I've got a relationship now with both my sisters just as if we'd grown up together as siblings. It's absolutely brilliant. And it's through God, but it's also through hard work and us working at it. And God can sort these situations out. And I want to encourage you with that. Continue to sow keep sowing and keep sowing. So this fallow ground I could be talking about, it could be a place, a situation in your life where nothing's growing now. And it does look maybe like my small piece of land. That's good news, isn't it? And what I'm saying by there is I'm glad my piece of land isn't any bigger. It's not huge. It's not a desert. Things will grow there. And it's not unachievable. In a few weeks, I will be digging that over. I do wish I was in my 20s digging it over. I have to say, when I used to have this garden, when I was in my 20s, I could turn it over and like very quickly. It might take a few attempts now. God's word is our seed. It's his promise. The Holy Spirit leading us into truth. And as we read it, when I was doing my reading around this subject, this phrase also was connected to Isaiah 10, verse 12. It's not scriptural, it's not scripture, but this phrase when I was reading around it, and this really jumped out at me. And probably one of the things I'd like you to consider after today. It's sow the seed of promise in the soil of your need. I'm going to say that again. Sow the seed of promise in the soil of your need. And when I read that, I was quite, whoa, what does that mean in this situation? Sow the seed of promise in the soil of your need. I was challenged. I've already said I had a picture of ground that was fallow. A place that's put to one side. An area of life with no growth. It's an area, for whatever reason, has just been left. There's no judgment about having an area that's been left. Sometimes we don't know that things have been left. And it's only by the Holy Spirit, who gently reveals things to us at the right time, that then we go to these places that we weren't even aware of before. Because our God is a very gentle God. If God showed me the fallow ground left side, front of me, right side, I'd be packing it in. As a Christian, sometimes, because you'd just be so overwhelmed by what you've got to do. But God's not, our Father God is not like that. He reveals things to us. And solutions for this area of fallow ground. It's not about just sowing anything. It's not about grabbing the nearest solution. It's not about clutching at straws. Those are the things I felt very strongly to say today. I'm talking about the promises of God that are written and then sowed in your heart. How God speaks to you, reveals to you the purpose of your life. When you seek him, he promises you will find him. I love that. It also says in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it does not return there, but water the earth, to give the seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing that I have sent it. So if you sow righteousness, guess what you're going to get? Righteousness. If you keep doing the right thing, you get mercy. Break up that flat ground. Break up that soil that's clumped together. I'm unfortunate. It's not clay, our soil, but it's this black clumpy stuff that sticks together. Which means when you're trying to break it up, it's kind of doing everything against what you want it to do. It's great for growing, but it clumps together. And very shortly, if I don't turn that over, the weeds are going to come. The stuff I don't want to grow there. And I have to whip them out quick. Don't leave the weeds. So I want to ask you, is there an area of your life that's not growing at the moment? As a gardener, I know if I sow carrots, I'm not going to get sweet corn. Okay? But sometimes we think if we sow one thing, we'll get a different fruit. We do think that. If we keep doing the same, we know we get the same. And God has been talking to us over these last few weeks about changing. Mick's word was about changing. Making a change. It's the right time for change. I talked about going in one direction and you're having to turn round into the other direction. You see, the difference is the seed sown in the spiritual fallow ground will have a harvest that is not just for now. Everything in this world is focused on now. Our harvest is also eternal. When I was talking to Mick, because I was away when he spoke, he was reminding me, and I'd completely forgotten, of the people that he had introduced to God. Jed, our other elder, Steve, Beryl's son. These people, and they're still going on for God now. And I'd not realised that, and I was glad to be reminded. It's an eternal thing that we're also sowing. It does require some effort. You know, in the north, I know this from gardening, it takes much longer to grow things. We're about a month behind where we should be. That cold wind makes a massive difference. And sometimes we have to work harder at making the environment for things to grow. But when we do the right thing, our harvest is tender kindness. There are consequences to us leaving fallow ground. And it'll affect our spiritual life. And I'm going to say what they are. Your fallow ground becomes harder. And it's just the same in your spiritual life. You need a radical approach to deal with hard fallow ground. But God has said that if we ask him, he'll attend to that fallow ground. So don't give sin an area to develop. A fallow is an excellent soil to cultivate the wrong things in life. Got to deal with sin quickly, ruthlessly, whenever it appears. And God is looking for people who obey him and honour by the way we live, our behaviour. So I would encourage you to look at any area of your life that is not bearing fruit. It could be an up-and-coming situation that you need God's wisdom on. You need God's word. You need God's seed. And I would also encourage you not to sow sparingly. One of the things in the Bible is that's really important is that when we sow, that we don't just, I mean. So if I like my lawn sometimes, because I've got a lawn as well, my lawn sometimes gets bald patches. I've got a dog. So my lawn sometimes gets bald patches. And when I'm having to re-sow the seed, I don't put my hand in the box and just go. I get my hand in the box and I go, sow seed generously. So I've already said, if you sow corn, you get corn. It doesn't matter what the conditions are, our fallow ground, because God has promised that when we bring situations to him, that he'll help us deal with it. Peter 1 verse 23, I'm just going to summarise with this. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. You see, God's seed, it's not corruptible. It's not something that will, you know, like you open a seed packet and it's got a date on. And it's got like, let's say I go to my, I've got a box of seeds. So I go to that box and at the moment I'm thinking about lettuces and I'm thinking about rocket and radishes and all salad-y things that I can grow in my little bit of turned over fallow ground. And when I get to my seed box, I know that I'll have some that have expired. And probably they might not grow. God's got nothing that's expired. Nothing at all that's expired. It's not going to rust and rot. The promise of God, the spiritual seed that you'll receive to plant in your heart by faith, will surely come to pass and in his time. There's no expiry date. Spiritual seeds need to be sown in your heart for it to manifest in a physical way. It's permanent and enduring. Prioritise his word in your life. More than anything else, I would encourage you to do that, because the promises of God are in there. And to summarise, the loving compassion of God, who is your Father and mine, who knows everything about you, the nature of your need, and also when it needs satisfying. He cares for you and meets you so that you are blessed, and also that you may be a channel of blessing for the lives of other people. God bless you. Have a good week.
Thank you for that, Sue. Very practical word. Just want to read from Galatians, which is where Sue started. And if we follow the scripture down, it says, don't grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And my experience of gardening is a bit different than Sue's. I grow very weary very quickly trying to dig gardens over it. It does me head in. Right, because these weeds come and grow, and I think I've just dug it over, and all these weeds have come again. So I've had all my garden tarmacked over, but it still grows weeds. It's amazing. But it's hard work, you know, digging over fallow ground, digging over those things in our lives is hard work. And sometimes we know the areas of our lives that need work on, and we start the job, and we grow weary, we get fed up. And we need encouragement from the Holy Spirit. And if we ask, the Holy Spirit will encourage us to do that. But if we want to see good stuff in our lives, don't stop working. Don't grow weary with doing good things. And that's a real encouragement to me to keep me going sometimes. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't lose hope in what God is trying to do in your heart and in your life. And sometimes we can get to a stage in our Christian life, and I say this quite a lot, where we think, that's good enough. That will do. I'm quite okay with that. But it's not allowing God to fulfill us. It's not allowing God to complete us, because he wants to break into this fallow area, those areas of our lives that aren't producing fruit. He wants us to break that fallow ground up and allow him to do something which we kind of go, whoa, I never thought that would happen. That's why we love our God, because he does amazing things in our lives. So thank you for that, Sue. That was brilliant. Put it into practice. Think about that. Allow the Holy Spirit just to reveal fallow areas of your life, those areas that are dormant and not doing anything. And maybe God wants you to work in them and transform them.